right, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Sunday morning service at Shield of Faith Baptist Church. It's great to see everybody here this morning. Our friends from Colorado are here, so we're very excited for that. And Miss Jessica's parents and all that. So we're grateful to see everybody here on this beautiful day. If we could all begin to make our ways to our seats, please. And when you get there, grab the red hymn book. It should be directly underneath the seat in front of you. Grab that hymn book and turn with me to song number 230, Heavenly Sunlight. And we'll sing it out loud. As unto the Lord. Song number 230, Heavenly Sunlight. Walking in sunlight all of my journey.
Walking in sunlight all of my journey. Over the mountains, through the deep bay.
With a word of prayer, please.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your blessings to this with another day that you created for us. I ask that you bless the service and the fellowship to come. And I fill Pastor Jones with the Holy Spirit as he brings forth the message placed in his heart. And that we all have ears to hear and hearts to receive the message. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, let's flip back a handful of pages to song number 224, Showers of Blessing. Lot to be thankful for. Amen. Song number 224. There shall be showers of blessing. On the first,
there shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing sent from the Savior above. Showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Round us are falling. showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead.
Amen. All right. Well, good morning. Welcome to Shield of Faith Baptist Church. If you need a bulletin, you'll have to get one next week because we're out. But if you need a pen or something like that, just raise your hand and we'll have somebody get you one. So let's go through these announcements here. Front page of the bulletin, weekly church service times, Sunday mornings at 10:30, Sunday evenings at 6, and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Underneath there is a list of our soul winning times. So we've got Saturday mornings at 10:30, meeting right here. Sunday afternoons at 2 with Brother David. Mondays at 6:30 with Brother Mauser. Wednesdays at 11 with Brother Briley, and Thursdays around 6:30. So Thursdays, of course, is not, you know, right at 6:30. It's whenever people get off work. So if you do want to go Thursday, don't forget to call 208-391-5323 just to let me know, or you can send an email or a text. And underneath there, you'll see a praise report for September. So we're at 4 salvations for the month, which is 76 year-to-date, 8 baptisms, and you can see the attendances under there. Still have some people out sick. And we had 14 soul winners out in the community last week, so praise God for all of that. Back page, so tonight we'll be in 2 Samuel chapter number 16. And the note right under there says, baby sprinkle for baby Aiden Troop. It's actually going to be a baby sprinkle for baby Jeff. So I'm going to be baptizing him in cake batter tonight. So don't forget, you want to show up for that, all right? So again, don't let that sprinkle thing scare you. We don't baptize people by sprinkling water, okay? So what it is when you have your first child, the church throws you a full-on baby shower. After that, you get sprinkled, if that makes sense. So if you have any questions, just see Jessica, because I have no idea what I'm talking about. All right, right below there. October 3rd, come join us for Young Adults Day. There will be a meal after the morning service and a gift for all young adults under the age of 30. And you definitely don't want to miss that because we have our church mascot. Where's he at? There he is. Brother Skulk's South African Tacos. He will be making them, and I'm excited about that. And that's it, really. I don't care about the gift. I'm just... and don't forget to start practicing your chili recipes, because October 31st, after the evening service, we'll have our annual chili cook-off. And I heard Mike has been practicing religiously, so we'll see. This year, we're going to have the winner in the second place scrap, so... All right, let's see here. Birthdays and anniversaries have already passed. This week's memory verse is Psalm 27:10, which says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. We are a family-integrated church, and what that means is children and infants are always welcome in the service. However, if you need privacy, there's a daddy baby room, which is right over here to your left, and the mother baby room is right across the hallway. Just follow the lavender scent. It'll take you right there. And if you have any issues with the monitor, just let Caden know. Let's see here. Tithes and offerings for September, right below that. Don't forget to turn your phone off or place it on silent during the service. And don't forget, all those clothes hanging up in the back, everything's free. If something fits you, go ahead and take it. If you want to drop stuff off, go ahead and drop it off. And if it's not gone within like a month, 2 months, we'll get rid of it for you. The very bottom line of your bulletin says, learn helplessness can be overcome by learned blessedness. And that was from last Sunday morning. So we're going to have one more song before we receive the offering. All right, let's grab those hymn books one more time, please, and turn to song number 174, My Jesus, I Love Thee. Amen. Song number 174, My Jesus, I Love Thee. My Jesus, I Love Thee, on the first. My Jesus, I love thee.
And pray. is now. Allah.
Thank you so much, Lord, for allowing us to be able to meet here this morning. Just pray you take care of our church, Lord, and help us out during the week. Just pray you minimize distractions, Lord, and help us to have a great time of fellowship after the service. Pray you bless the soul winning today and bring us all back safely tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Good morning, everyone. Turn for me to Genesis chapter 2, the first book in the Bible, Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Starting in verse 1, and Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw him, he said, "This is God's host." And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. Chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32. Starting in verse 1. And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw him, he said, "This is God's host," and he called the name of that place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent his messengers before him to Esau his brother unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, "Thus shall ye speak unto my lord Esau, thy servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban, and stayed there until now. And I have oxen and asses, flocks and men servants and women servants, and I have sent to tell my lord that I might find grace in thy sight." And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him." Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks and the herds and the camels, into two bands. And said, "If Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape." And Jacob said, "O God of my father Abram, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidst unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant, for with thy For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me, and the mother with the children. And thou saidst, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for a multitude. And he lodged there the same night, and took that which came to his hand, a present for Esau his brother, 200 she-goats and 20 he-goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milch camels with their colts, 40 kine and 10 bulls, 20 she-asses and 10 foals. And he delivered them into the hand of his servants, every drove by themselves, and said unto his servants, Pass over before me, and put a space betwixt drove and drove. And he commanded the foremost, saying, When Esau my brother meeteth thee, and asketh thee, saying, Whose art thou, and whither goest thou, and whose are these before thee? Then thou shalt say, They be thy servant Jacob's. It is a present sent unto my lord Esau, and behold, also he is behind us. And so commanded he the second, and the third, and all that followed the droves, saying, On the manner shall ye speak unto Esau when ye find him. And say ye moreover, Behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with the present that goeth before me, and afterward I will see his face. Peradventure he will accept of me. So went the present over before him, and himself lodged that night in the company. And he rose up that night, and took his two wives, and his two women servants, and his 11 sons, and passed over the fort Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook, and sent over the sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and there he wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, as he wrestled with him. And he said, Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him, and said, Tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh, unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. Brother David, you want to pray for us?
Thank you, Father God, for this day.
All right, amen. Well, we're in Genesis chapter number 32. Look at verse number 24. It says this, And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And what I want to do is I just want to highlight two things from that verse really quickly. We're going to come back and explain everything that's going on here in a moment. But it says Jacob was left alone, and he wrestled with a man that he doesn't know who it is at this point in time. And so we're going to do a new series. It's going to be for 3 weeks, and it's about things that we wrestle with alone, these internal struggles. And today's topic is going to be about rejection. And so the title of the sermon is Depression from Rejection. And we're going to be talking about that today using this story. We're also going to go back and look at some other things in Jacob's life. But the reason why I'm preaching this is because everybody struggles with rejection, okay? You know, I was doing some research on this subject, and one of the interesting things that I learned, and this is so true, and we all know this, but when you get rejected in any sort of capacity, right, you have the potential to relive that and to re-experience that and to keep bringing it up and to keep dwelling on that. And what does that do? Well, it causes you pain. It causes you physical turmoil, right? So think about this. when you stub your toe or, you know, God forbid you break your arm or you get cut, you know, you get a migraine, those are physical pains that are eventually going to be healed, right?
Right.
And they're going to go away until the next time you trip or do something like that. But however, rejection is totally different. These internal, these social pains that we all experience, you know, they have, a greater health risk to all of us because we have the ability for years to bring up those thoughts and to bring up those patterns. And what happens? Well, what happens is we start to feel that physically. You know, the Bible says in Psalm, you don't have to turn there, but it says in Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart doeth good like medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. You say, okay, well, what does that mean, drieth the bones? How does a broken spirit dry your bones? Well, what it does is it wastes away that bone marrow inside of your body. And guess what? Science is just now starting to realize that and just now starting to catch up with the Bible. So think about that for a second, right? And so hopefully you see just by that analogy there how important it is to manage these internal things that we wrestle with. So just like Jacob, he finds himself here alone, away from his family. He's terrified. He has no idea what's going to happen to him. And he is experiencing a lot of things, but one of those, and you're going to see, is definitely, definitely rejection. I mean, think about this. You know, it's not just necessarily the foods that we eat that give us ulcers, right? It can be worry. It can be fear, anxiety, all sorts of issues, rejection. It's a huge problem, and it's something that we all experience, and I'm going to show you how to overcome that this morning because this is definitely another thing that can hinder you in your life, okay? Just the other day, actually it was last Monday, Kinley and I got rejected. You know, we were, those of you that don't know, we started a business, and we've been doing some jobs, and we got this client every Monday, right? And she's kind of like, was like our experiment client. You know, we go to her house and we're doing service for her. It's not appliance repair. And, you know, we're working. And, you know, I told her on the way there this last Monday, I was like, this is our fourth time here. And I've noticed a lot of weird things. Like I've noticed things out of place. And, you know, obviously you're under camera. The ladies always shied away from, you know, giving us the expectations. Because when we first met her, I was like, you know, is there any way we could just meet and I could just like get a list from you of everything that you want, you know, really pin her down on that. And no, I don't want to do that. I just trust you. It's okay. You can go into my house. You know, we have an alarm. We trust you. It's like, you don't even know me. So right away, that's a huge red flag. Okay. And I know this just from life experience. And so it's like, okay, cool. You know, oh, you did a great job. You know, she starts giving us compliments and sending us, you know, messages. This is great. I can't believe what you did, blah, blah, blah. You know? And so Monday I message her like I always do, like, hey, we're going to be there in about an hour. You know, everything okay? Any problems, any issues? No, everything's fine. Everyone's gone. You know, go ahead and go in there. And I told her, we got to really make sure we do an extra, extra good, thorough job today because I have a feeling that after she realizes how much this is costing her after the month, she's going to make something up on us, give an excuse to basically say she doesn't want to do business anymore. And so, you know, we're doing a good job. I double check, I triple check everything. There's really literally nothing left that we can clean. And this lady's house is a dump. There's a reason why she needs somebody there every single week. She's got cats all over the place, litter boxes. So obviously after we leave there, there's the potential for those cats and those animals to just run amok and just completely, you know, get hair everywhere and different things like that. And so we do a good job. I'll let her know. And then all of a sudden, as I tell her that I'm leaving, which she already knows because her alarm sends her a signal on her cell phone when we leave, she's like, hey, last time you didn't do this. You didn't clean this. You didn't do that. And I'm like, whatever. I just ignored it. You know, I'm like, I ain't got time for this. So later on in the evening, she's like, yeah, we don't want to use your services anymore because you didn't do this. Now, that's a rejection, you know, and I could just let that get to me. You know, Kinley could just let that get to her. Her response was, well, good, she can clean her own house then. You know, I mean, you know the woman and her communication, right? So it's just so funny. But, you know, just even little things like that, they can eat away at you. But here's the thing. I still felt that initial feeling of rejection. And so did Kinley, you know. You do. You're not going to get away with this. And I'm going to explain that in further detail. It's still there. So it's how you manage it. That's what it really boils down to. How do you manage those feelings, right? I did everything that I could. There was nothing left. There was literally no stone unturned. And she still rejected us. Now, we know that there's obviously something else going on here. Because, you know, as we've been doing this job, she put certain things in certain places, you know, obviously testing us. And we took pictures. And I told her that. I said, I have pictures. Do you think I'm stupid? And no response. You know, she's like, well, I think you should give me half my money back. This is what she originally said. I said, I'll give you all your money back. You know, because I stand behind my word and I know for a fact in my heart there was nothing left that we could have done. but we still found ourselves rejected. This is life. This is just how it goes. We all find ourselves in this situation. For example, you're using Facebook Messenger or you're messaging somebody on the iPhone. You see the little bubbles pop up, right? You know, like, how's your day going? You see the bubbles pop up and then they go away. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. You're like, oh, something's wrong. Oh, he's going to say something, and now he's thinking about it. Now she's thinking about it. You know, she's got a problem with me. He's got a problem with me, right? Isn't that what some of you think? You know what I mean? When in reality, they probably just hit the space bar, and they're driving, you know, and they shouldn't be on the phone in the first place. But you get that initial feeling of rejection. And here's why this is so important for us and for our church also. Soul winning.
Yeah.
Soul winning, right? If you're not a talker, look, I'm not here to bash you, but if you're not a talker or if maybe you haven't taken that initial step to go out soul winning, it could be because of your fear of rejection. I would say that's probably the number one thing that holds people back is the fear of being rejected. Because, look, we're honest with you. When you go soul winning, there are people that will slam the door in your face.
Yep.
There are people that get high off of being a puppet master, like that lady that we dealt with. She does that to people all the time. That's her nature. And, you know, from doing appliance repair for so long, you know, you can talk to Jeff, anybody that's in the service industry, there are just people out there, they just love to control people. And one of the ways they do that is by trying to hurt people. Okay, you just got to realize that this is life. It's going to happen. It's not every single door. Most people around here are extremely polite. Okay, it's not like this is an every single day occurrence, but it does happen, and it's something that you need to be aware of, you know. I've told you guys this story before. You know, when I first met Jessica and after we got married, she would not call to order pizza. And you say, well, why? Because she was afraid of being rejected. She was afraid of sounding stupid, afraid of not getting things right. Right? Who went to Sacramento with her a couple weeks ago? David, Miss Joanna. I'll bet you that before you guys went through the drive-thru, she probably got your order on paper or on her phone before she went through, huh? Yeah, you know that's right. Why? Because she doesn't want to sound stupid. I'm not knocking her. You know, it's just the way it is. I'm the same way. I do it because I will flip out. Okay? You guys know I have that beef with that Taco Bell on Cole and Overland. I can't stand those guys down there. They are extremely lazy. And look, I don't go there all the time. I know it's reprobate. But I do go like 4 or 5 times a year to Taco Bell. Okay? I like Taco Bell from time to time. Okay? But we you know, I'm not afraid of getting rejected by them, but she is, you know, she's like, we got to have everything lined up. But it also saves time, and it's always good to be prepared, okay? And you know, we were talking about that yesterday, and she's like, yeah, I mean, that plagued her for years. That actually initially held her up from giving the gospel and from soul winning for the longest time, because she would hear stories of us coming back, and, oh, you know, this one guy got hit with some crutches on his back, you know, and just crazy stuff like that. It's like, I'm not going out there. You know, I don't want to be rejected. And of course, eventually she got over that and did. But why do you think that like DoorDash and Uber Eats and, you know, Instacart, why do you think those things are thriving? It's not because everybody's paranoid about the commie virus. That's not really what it's about. It's because it gives them the opportunity to not feel rejected. They can take their time and type the order. It's convenient. There's all sorts of reasons why. But one of the reasons why is because people in the last days are going to be merciless. Okay, so people like that woman that I was dealing with on Monday, they are everywhere. They work at Taco Bell. They work for, you know, all these different stores. And so when you do that and you remove that human element, it makes you feel safe. And that's the world that we're living in today. And I want to tell you right now that the fear of rejection will keep you from living your life to the fullest. And I'm not trying to sound like Joel Osteen, but look, as a Baptist, as a Bible-believing Christian, right, we want to serve God. We want to be able to give people the gospel. We want to teach people doctrine. We want to serve the Lord, but we have to understand that, you know, the Lord himself was rejected, and we're in him. We're going to get rejected, too, with him. That is just so important for us to really understand here. And so what I want to do now is I want to get into the story here in Genesis chapter 32 of Jacob wrestling. And you're going to see that it is with God. It's not just some random man, and it's not just some angel like Gabriel or Michael, okay? And so we're going to start in verse 24, but you just read the chapter, so you already know kind of the situation here. Jacob has already settled his beef with Laban. He's already served for Rachel, served for Leah, you know, and he's already gotten Laban's blessing, if you will, to go ahead and move out and to start his life with his family, right? But with that comes an issue. Now all of a sudden he gets news that his brother Esau, whom he tricked previously, is coming. And he doesn't know why. He doesn't, you know, he's not sure like what's going to happen yet. And so he's paranoid. He's terrified. And so he has to divide his family in half. And you saw the story. He's like, well, if one gets smitten, you know, I'll still have the other one, right? Obviously a very, very intense situation here. And so he puts his family over the brook, and so now he finds himself alone. And I always just think this is crazy. No matter how many times I've studied this, how many times I've read this, you know, it's just like all of a sudden there's this wrestling match. You know what I mean? It's like, wait, you know, what? You know? And so let's pick up the story here in verse number 24. It says this, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day." I mean, this is intense here, right? I mean, you know, he just finds himself alone. It's at night, and all of a sudden, this guy shows up and is like, "Hey, I'll bet you can't stuff my takedowns, right? I'll bet you can't." You know what I mean, it's just like, what? All of a sudden, these guys are going to wrestle, you know? And it lasts all night, but look at verse 25. This is very, very important here. It says this, "And when he saw..." And this is the angel, this is God. It says, "And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him." Now, let's see here. What in the world is going on there? I don't know if you're like me. The first time I read that, I was like, wait a minute. There's no way that Jacob defeated God. How does this make sense? What in the world's going on here? But it's going to make sense for you in a moment here. So what do we have? Look at the beginning of the verse there. "And when he saw that he prevailed not." So when the angel, which he's referred to in Hosea, we're going to take a look at that in a minute. When he sees, okay, Jacob's not giving up. He's not quitting. You know, I haven't submitted him yet, if you will. What does it say? "He touched the hollow of his thigh." So he just touches him. Okay, this is very important here. What happens? Instant damage. Okay, so at that moment, Jacob's like, okay, wait a second. This is definitely not normal. This is not a normal man. You know, this is obviously something far greater. And what is God doing here? God's letting him know, hey, this match didn't have to go all night, right? I'm letting you know who I am now because the day is about to break and I'm going to have to get on my way here. But what does it say? It says he just simply touched. What do you think the modern versions say? They keep that word in there, right? But they say something like this. And I looked this up in several of them. It says, "Then he wrenched it out of socket." Well, that takes away from the story. That takes away from what God is doing here because the King James Bible says that he just touched the hollow of his thigh, right? That's a miracle. That signifies to us, okay, now I can learn that, you know, this is the moment where Jacob's like, okay, we've definitely not a man because he just touches it. Boom, he's got this injury. And then look at verse 26. It says, "And he said, let me go for the day breaketh." So this is what the angel is saying, this man is saying, he says, "And he said, let me go for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me." Okay, and so to clear that up and to give you further clarification on what's going on, if you would turn to Hosea chapter number 12, Hosea chapter number 12. And so again, you say, what's going on here? I'm just going to give you four quick things in this story because it's going to be important as we go through the series in the next couple of weeks. And number one I've already mentioned is that God didn't have to wrestle with him all night. He's trying to teach Jacob a lesson. He's trying to prevent him from running away, and he simply demonstrates that by just simply touching his thigh. Right? He doesn't grab him in a high single and then dump him on the ground and get him in a leg lock and pop his hip joint out of socket. That's not what happens. He just touched it, signifying, hey, you need to wake up here, Jacob, and you need to realize you have to stop running from your problems, okay? So real quickly, Hosea chapter 12 is another passage in the Bible that describes this story here. And if you would look at verse number 3, Hosea chapter number 12, look at verse 3, it says this. It says, "He took his brother," this is Jacob, "he took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God." Look at verse 4, it says, "Yea, he had power over," now don't miss this, "the angel and prevailed. He wept," and don't miss this either, "and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us." Verse 5, "Even the Lord God of hosts, the Lord is his memorial." And so just because it uses the word angel there in verse 4, that doesn't mean that it's an angel like Gabriel or Michael the archangel. Okay, there are other passages in the Bible, Genesis 18, for example, we're not going to go there for sake of time, that will often use that phrase there, angel, that word there, angel, in reference to God. Remember, what does angel mean? It means messenger. Right. right? So, you know, God is obviously a messenger. The prophets are messengers. Heck, you guys going out soul winning and giving somebody the message of the gospel, you know, in a sense, you're an angel, right? The letter to the seven churches in Asia that we read about in Revelation, what does it say? Unto the angel of the church of so-and-so, the church of Ephesus, the church of Laodicea. Okay, so angel means messenger. And because the reason why I'm bringing this up is because a lot of people will say, okay, you know, this was just a normal angel. Well, the problem with that is you don't see angels in the Bible actually physically hurting people, right? You don't see that. You don't see them hurting people or even healing people. And you definitely don't see them receiving worship or supplications, okay? You don't see that at all. But we clearly see that Jacob understood exactly what he was dealing with while wrestling with this man. So again, that is basically the story that we're going to be using for this series here. And hopefully you have a better understanding of that now. So turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter number 25. Genesis chapter number 25. And we'll get moving here. And so again, you know, reading this, we can learn a few things, okay? In fact, what we just read, what did God do to Jacob? Well, he changed his name, right? Angels aren't typically doing that type of thing. They don't receive worship. So obviously, this is a pre-incarnate Christ. This is an Old Testament picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's just appearing in the story, and he's trying to teach Jacob a lesson here. He's telling him, hey, it's time for you to get serious. You're not going to be able to run from your issues. Jacob is struggling with all sorts of internal turmoil here, and God's trying to help him. He's trying to heal him. And you know what? Sometimes you're going to get wounded when you wrestle with these internal feelings, when you go to God. Everybody wants a quick fix for everything these days. They just want to be able to take a pill or an injection and get healed. But when you go God's route, a lot of times you will experience some sort of pain. Right? What do we see Jacob doing at the end of the story? Well, he's limping away. He's got battle scars. That's experience. That is wisdom. That is how we grow. That is how we learn, by getting and receiving damage. You know, like that story I told you about in the beginning of the sermon with myself and Kinley. You know, that taught us a lot of different things. Like, okay, we're going to make sure we have a contract. We're not doing business with anyone unless they, you know, agree to our terms. It's our way or the highway. You know, it's just the way it is. Don't take rejection as an opportunity to shut yourself down, but use it for good. And so what I want to do now, you're in Genesis chapter number 25. We're going to talk real quickly about Jacob, and I'm going to give you the bottom line of this sermon here. So again, why was Jacob running? Why was he running from Esau? You say, well, because he was terrified. Well, yeah, you're correct. He's terrified. He's scared. He doesn't know what's going to happen. He doesn't believe in his mind that he can defeat Esau. Right, and obviously he tricked him. That's another big one as well. Okay, that's a pretty big issue there. But what you have to understand about Jacob is that he grew up with a little bit of rejection. Right, look at verse 28. You're there in Genesis 25. Look at verse 28. What does it say? And Isaac is his father. It says this, Genesis 25, 28. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. You see that? Now, that doesn't mean that Isaac didn't love Jacob. It just meant that, obviously, he had more affection and more. He probably got along better with Esau because they had more in common. They liked to eat the same meat. They liked the hunting and things like that. The Bible says that Jacob was a simple man. You know, he dwelt in tents, where Esau was kind of like a man's man. You know, just full of hair, just always ready to scrap, just a kind of a brawler type guy, you know. And obviously, Isaac loved that. But here's the thing. Every child wants to be loved by both of their parents, right? So Jacob has grown up with a disproportionate love, if you will. And I say that to say this. Rejection doesn't always mean, oh, I got kicked out of my church. I got kicked out of my job. I got kicked out of my family. No, it can simply just not being who you feel you should be in the eyes of those that are over you, right? That's very important to understand. We need to learn how to recognize rejection for what it is. And here's the bottom line for this morning. Rejection can either be your infection or become your direction, right? Because right now, as Jacob is wrestling with God, he has an infection. And that infection can be pointed all the way back to his upbringing and how he was somewhat rejected by his father. Now, he wasn't totally rejected. Obviously, Isaac gave him the blessing, right? But as far as being equal to his brother in love in the sight of his father, there was a problem there, which is another reason that I feel he felt Jacob could not defeat Esau. This is what rejection will do to you. This is what it does to us. It can either cause an infection or it can wake us up and say, okay, I don't need to go down that road. I need to learn from this and I need to go a different direction. You can either let it become an infection or you can let it become and determine your direction, because one thing that the Bible does teach us is that rejection can be direction. So if you would go to Genesis chapter number 30. Genesis chapter number 30. And so while we're talking about the life of Jacob and everything that he's got going on, we're actually going to talk about Leah as I teach through this subject of rejection. Now you say, well, what's the big deal here? Well, Leah is somebody in the Bible who definitely understood rejection. Leah was Jacob's first wife, and it wasn't supposed to be that way. You guys know the story. What did Jacob agree to with Laban when he first came on the scene? For Rachel, right? Yeah, that's right. He wanted Rachel. He loved Rachel. Rachel loved him. He worked 7 years and figured, okay, well, I'm going to get Rachel. Well, what wound up happening? He got Leah instead. He got tricked. Now, you say that's what he deserved, and that's true. You reap what you sow. But the point is, think about how Leah felt the morning after. And you know what this also tells us? That Leah's father, Laban, rejected Leah. Think about that. The Bible says she was tender-eyed, but Rachel was of a beautiful countenance. She was a very fair woman, a very pretty woman. That's what it says. So was Laban just afraid? You know, I don't want to let her go. That's my baby, you know, that type of thing. Which is hard. I get it. I totally understand that. Did he maybe think, I don't know, no one's ever going to be able to take Leah? Or what was the deal? But he was willing to use her to further his own agenda, which is what? Well, that's rejection. So obviously we can see she probably grew up with that, just like Jacob did. And you're there in Genesis chapter number 30. Look at verse number 19. And I'm going to give you the point of the sermon here right now. But look what it says here. So talking about Leah. So Leah has lived a life of rejection. She's rejected by Jacob because obviously Jacob didn't want that. He just wanted Rachel. Now he's got this wife and now he's got to take care of her, but he doesn't have the same love as he does for Rachel. But look what the Bible says about Leah. Look at verse 19. It says this, and Leah conceived again and bare Jacob the sixth son. Look at verse 20. And Leah said, God hath endued me with a good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me because I have borne him six sons. And she called his name Zebulun. Now look at verse 21. And afterwards she bare a daughter and called her name Dinah. So think about that. Was her rejection by Jacob, was her rejection from her father, was her living in a rejected state, did that mean that her worth in the eyes of God were for naught? Not at all. In fact, you don't have to turn there. You turn to Psalm 27. I'm going to read for you Genesis 46, 18. It says this, these are the sons of Zilpah, whom Laban gave to Leah, his daughter, and these she bare unto Jacob, even 16 souls. So think about this. How many children was Leah ultimately responsible for with Jacob? More than Rachel. More than Rachel. And you say, great, what does that mean? Well, it means this. Rejection is not a true measure of your worth. Sometimes it is. Sometimes people are trash, okay? Let's just be honest. You guys know this. Sometimes people need to reject it, and that's exactly what they deserve. We've talked about that in the past. I'm not going to go down that road again. But you have to understand this. We all experience rejection, and rejection is not necessarily a true measure of your worth. That's what God is trying to tell us here with Leah, saying, though you are living a life of rejection, though you feel rejected, Leah, I'm going to use you for great. I'm going to use you to basically supply half the children of the tribe of Israel. I mean, think about that. She bore six of the sons that would make up that nation and many more. So that's what I'm saying. Though she felt that way, God still used her mightily. And this is key for you and I to understand how we overcome rejection. You need to realize rejection is not a measure of your true worth. Okay, so this here says in Psalms 27, look at verse number 10. Look at verse number 10. It says this. I'm going to take a look at two types of rejection, relational rejection, and then obviously disciple, soul winning type rejection. But Psalm 27, look at verse 10. It says this. It says, when my father and my mother forsake me, don't miss this, then the Lord will take me up. How many times do you see that true in the Bible? Everywhere. That's right. You see that all over the place. Leah felt rejected, right? But her heavenly father the Lord God still took care of her, still blessed her. The Bible says that children are an heritage from the Lord, that it's a blessing. And she was not without love from her children, from God. And obviously, Jacob still took care of her, even though she was in definitely not the ideal situation. But when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. And the problem is today, you know, out in society, if you go to a therapist or you go to a psychologist, and you know, I was reading about this, like, how does the world solve rejection for people? You know, because there's all these coaching programs out there, and these people are getting rich and, you know, giving the world the advice. You know, one of the things that I learned is that Tylenol is prescribed to a lot of people that are suffering rejection. And it works. Studies have proven it, because the same pathways that are activated in your brain when you get hurt physically are the same ones that are activated when you experience rejection and you start to think about it. They've studied this and they know that. And so they say, well, just take Tylenol and keep coming back to me and paying my hundreds of dollars a month. And, you know, we'll keep working from there. Okay, but luckily, and thank God, we have free wisdom in the Bible that we can pull from. We don't have to go down that road. You can save the Tylenol for when you really do stub your toe, or really do, you know, have some serious issues here. Now, if you would, turn to Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10. So again, rejection is not a true measure of your worth, especially as a child of God. Right? And again, you don't have to necessarily get the boot from something to feel rejection. It can simply be an attitude that someone has for you. And all of us experience relational rejection. It's going to happen. It's just the way that it is. But in Luke chapter 10, let's look at it from a discipleship perspective. The Bible says this, Luke chapter 10, verse 16. It says, he that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you, notice this, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. You could leave your place there and go to Isaiah 53. Say, what in the world is that talking about? Well, obviously, the Lord is letting us know that if we follow him, if we teach his statutes and his commandments, guess what? We are going to experience some level of rejection, but he wants us to know where it comes from. He wants us to understand how this works, that they're not rejecting us. They are rejecting him. They are rejecting his teachings. You know, we experienced this yesterday, Brother Jeff and I, in Canyon, right? We're out knocking on these doors, and, you know, this lady was sitting out in her front porch, and she seemed nice, and we walked by, and she's like, hold up, don't even come on my property. Can anyone guess why she said that? You're not masked up. That's what she said. And Jeff was polite and offered, well, I could put a mask on, or, you know, I could go like this. Would that help? You know, and obviously she started running her mouth. I couldn't hear what she said about that. But she wasn't wearing a mask. So do you think that's what it was about? No. Not at all. It was because she knows that we have something to do with the Bible. And she despises God. That is why. That is what's going on there. Right? But it didn't really bother us. We're just like, yeah. In fact, it'd been a while since we've even heard something like that. Right? Because most people don't even bring that up. We must have got the little liberal nook there in that neighborhood just right over there, if you will. Okay? But hey, one got saved yesterday, so praise God for that. You know, that's two for the neighborhoods this year. So, again, just understand that. You know, as a disciple, as a soul winner, you're going to experience rejection. But when you understand Luke 10:16, when you understand these verses that Christ taught us to memorize and told us to learn, you say, okay, they're rejecting him. That makes sense. It's not about the mask. Because if it was, she would have put one on. Or she would have said, yeah, if you put one on, I'll listen. Because we've had people do that. We've had older people that said, yeah, you know, I'm just going to put this mask on. You know, if you put one on, I'll listen. I think Scott got someone saved a few months ago with that. No problem. We'll do it. You know, I'll put a full mop level 4 suit on, the hood, the yellow Tyvek, everything, if you'll listen to the gospel. Amen. Seriously, if you want to hear the gospel, look, I'll put a motorcycle helmet on, 18 masks, whatever I can do. I'll bring an audio system, whatever you want, right? But that wasn't the case with her. It's that she hates God. And so, of course, she's going to reject us. Of course, they will do this to us. So now what I want to do is I'm going to shift. We're going to spend just the last bit of this sermon here, going over some applications on how to overcome rejection. So if you're there in Isaiah 53, look at verse number 3. Isaiah chapter number 53, look at verse number 3. It says this, he, talking about Christ, he is despised and rejected of men. Now look at this, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Now, there's a lot going on in this prophecy here about the Lord Jesus Christ, but there is a very, very important aspect that we need to understand in order to overcome rejection. Notice what it says there. He is despised and rejected of men. So we understand this. When you go out into the community, you just need to have an awareness of this, that he is rejected by and large. He experienced this and obviously overcame this. But notice what it says. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of what? Sorrows. And notice this, acquainted with grief. What does that mean? How does that help us out? Well, here's the first point this morning in regards to overcoming rejection, and it's this. You must get acquainted with that feeling of rejection. That's what it says here, right? It says he was rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. What does that mean? What does it mean to be acquainted? It means to be associated with. It means to know, right? This is often overlooked, right? Oh, just take Tylenol. Come back for some shock therapy. No, I don't think so. We need to look rejection for what it is, face to face. We need to be acquainted with it. We ought to not run from it and hide from it and let that become an infection. We need to get acquainted with that grief and understand, okay, this is a normal human emotion that I have to manage in my life. The perfect illustration of this could be Saul and David. Right, we've spent a lot of Sunday evenings now talking about Saul, David, and that whole situation there. Well, think about this. What does Saul represent after the women sang the song about the victories that Saul and David had? Well, what did the women say? They said, well, Saul slain his thousands, David his 10,000s. And we've talked about this, how if it was reversed, if Saul slew his 10,000s and David slew his 1,000, Saul wouldn't have had a problem, right? But it wasn't. You know, the people saw how much work David was doing, and they're like, man, David slew 10,000s, but Saul just 1,000s, you know, just a little bit less. In that moment, he felt rejection, right? Saul's rejected. How does he handle that? He handles that by weakness, right? This is what I'm talking about here. We need to get acquainted with this grief. How did Christ handle it? Did he handle it in weakness or meekness? Meekness. How did David handle it? Meekness. See, people often get these two things, these two concepts confused. Weakness is where you can't restrain yourself, right? And I've found myself here plenty of times, especially down there at that Taco Bell, okay? Right? Where it's like, look, I got to say something. This is getting ridiculous, right? But the meekness part, what did David do? David said, I'm just going to flee from his presence. I will not harm the Lord's anointed. David refused to kill Saul, even though he had ample opportunity. That is meekness. That is how you handle rejection, by getting acquainted with it and then saying, okay, I'm not weak just because I feel this. Because this is what motivational speakers will do. You know, well, I don't experience this. No one messes with me, right? I don't care what anybody thinks. No, you do. You actually do. You feel that same sensation. You feel, no matter how small it is, you still feel that rejection inside your body. I don't care how many times or how many years you spent with the Navy SEALs or the Green Berets. Look, you feel rejection. Everyone does. That's the little secret that no one wants to tell you. And you know the way we overcome that is we get acquainted with that grief. And we take a look at stories like Saul and David. How did Saul handle it? He was weak and he just lashed out and tried to kill David several times. He wound up almost ruining the entire nation over that envy, over that rejection, because he viewed himself as rejected in the eyes of his people. You see, meekness is when you have the restraint to say, you know what, I'm going to walk away before something happens, right? That's the route that David took. That's the route that we need to take. We need to get acquainted with that feeling of rejection, because that's what the Bible says Christ was like, that he was acquainted with that grief. And we know the stories. We've gone over them several times. What did he do? He acted in meekness. How did Moses act? Meekness. Exactly. That's the key. Meekness isn't weakness. It's just developing restraint. It's saying, you know what, I've actually got the strength not to lash out, not to say anything, and to just pick and choose which battles I want to fight. That's what I'm talking about. Go to Galatians chapter number one. Galatians chapter number one. So number one, you must get acquainted with that feeling of rejection. You will have it. You will never get rid of it. I don't care how tough you are. I don't care if you hop on the sauce and you're on D-ball and all DECA and all this stuff. It doesn't matter. You will still feel rejected, especially when you get off the stuff, from what I've heard. Galatians chapter number one. So let's move on here. Galatians chapter number 1. Look at verse number 10. Look at what Paul tells the Galatians here. So obviously the Galatian church all messed up, all out of control here. Look at what they say. Look at what Paul tells them. He says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? Now, don't miss this. For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." And the second thing that I want to tell you this morning is this. Let go of your addiction to other people's approval. Your disease to please. And again, this is another internal battle that we all have. And I've explained this in other sermons, but this is very important if you want to overcome and manage rejection. The reason why that lady on Monday didn't bother us long term, and I just wrote it down so I could use it as an illustration, is because I don't need her approval. She doesn't pay my bills, right? I'm not going to give her any value. Yeah. It's time that we stop giving value to these third-party people and these people in our lives that don't really matter. And yes, that's what I said. Because what did Christ say? Did he say he came to bring peace? No, he came to bring a sword. He came to bring division. He came to bring the truth, and the truth divides. Right. And then what did he say? I came to turn a mother against a daughter-in-law and all turmoil. Right. You just need to understand that. You follow Christ, you're going to experience that division. You're going to experience that rejection. And then you know what? We have people all the time. We've been here for, what, over 2.5 years now. And I've seen well-meaning, great people come in here with good intentions. Right. And what do? They start getting on board. And then they start, oh, man, you know, I'm having a rough time. And, you know, they start backing off. And it's like they start quitting. And you see that. They're not quitting because they're failing, necessarily. They're quitting because of the influences in their life. They're giving value to these people at work that are like, why aren't you coming to the club with us? Why aren't you coming to the movies with us? Why won't you golf with us on Sundays? Why won't you do this with us? And they're starting to value how they view them. And because they don't want to be rejected, they succumb to that peer pressure and they're gone. And that's why I'm telling you, this is so important. I'll bring it up every week if I have to. You have got to let go of your addiction of other people's approval. Amen. Good. Because it will ruin you. It will dictate you. It will control you. You will not control it. That is meekness. That is strength. When you can look and say, no, I have a mission here. You know what? Virtually nobody messes with me. And I'm not bragging. It's because I don't alter the mission here. It's to edify and evangelize. That's it. That's what it is. And people know that. They listen. You know, the trolls every once in a while, they get on there and, well, I'm not going to call him. In fact, I'll just send him a passive-aggressive poem text or threats, right? Yeah. You know, I've been getting those every week. Every week, I get a death threat. Every week. I'll cut your head off. All sorts of stuff. It don't even bother me. I've told you guys, it doesn't even bother you guys. You right? It's not just me. It's you. We are strong because we understand what true strength is. It doesn't bother us because I know they're just mad. They just go get a bogus phone number. They download that app. They change their number and just. And they live right down the street here and they work, you know, in some management position at Micron. Right? That's what's going on. They don't ever have the guts to come down here and challenge. And so what do they do? Oh, I got to send you a message in the middle of the night. And it's always like between 12 and 2. Always. 100% of the time, virtually. I almost never wake up to like a pleasant message. Although someone did call the other day, which is nice. So. Anyways, I have no idea why I'm talking about this. Go to Luke 17. Oh, yeah, rejection, right? Rejection is not a true measure of worth. I don't care what these people think because we know as a church, we're doing what the Lord said. We believe his word, we teach his word, and we go out and we're just trying to make disciples and trying to make converts. It's a simple mission. And when you keep that, you don't have to worry about what other people think of you. So, number two, let go of your addiction to other people's approval. Number one was you must get acquainted with that feeling of rejection. It will not go away. It's how you manage it. And you manage it, and it goes away quicker over time when you develop meekness, which is strength, according to the Bible. Luke 17, look at verse number 25. It says this. This is Jesus talking here, and he's talking about how people are going to view him. He's talking about end times prophecy. Luke 17:25 says this, but first must he suffer many things, talking about himself, and be, notice this, rejected of this generation. Verse 26, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. And point number three is very simple. It's this: expect a certain level of rejection in every single area of your life, whether it's work, your extended family, and even somewhat in church, because as time progresses, as we get larger, you know, you go out there and you get somebody saved and they come in here. Well, guess what? They don't know everything, right? We're not Calvinists. It's not like, you know, you just wake up one day and, oh, I understand everything and all my manners are great. No, people have issues. We have issues. All of us do. I've got problems. You know, I give Jeff a hard time, you know, for, you know, out soul winning. You know, there was a proverb in our church, you know, that David gets everyone saved and Jeff beats people up. But really, you know, you look to this guy here. I have a big problem when people try to stop us soul winning. You know, I was talking with a guy from Sure Foundation. He's like, man, I'll never forget the first time I went soul winning with you, you know, and you were just talking like all friendly and everything was cool. You're laughing and joking around. This guy charged us and you just flipped out. He's like, how do you learn to do that? He's like, and then you just turned around and went back to normal. I was like, yeah, just over time, I guess, you know. It's a problem, though, right? You know, I get upset. I do not like people trying to change what we're doing. Amen. We are not doing anything illegal. And when these, you know, these people, they just want to come after you. It's like, dude, you're the one. You are so wrong right now for what you're doing. Right. And I take that to the extreme. And so I'm just saying, I need to, you know, listen to my own advice. Expect a certain level of rejection in every area of your life, whether it be work, whether it be family, even church. You don't have to turn there, but 1 Corinthians 15:33 says this: be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Right? We are a church full of people that still have influences with people in the community that are bad, and it rubs off on you, you know? It does. You're at work more than you are here, you know? And it's to be expected, and we just need to understand that and just manage that and just realize that, you know, it's going to be a problem and work with it. Right? You see, when a church develops this holier-than-thou type attitude, well, because you're not reading the Bible 10 times a week like I am, and you're singing hymns first thing in the morning, you suck. You know? No, now you're promoting the spirit of rejection on other people when we're trying to help people get stronger in the Lord. Because look, that's what we need. We've got a lot of work to do out in this community. There are a lot of doors to knock, a lot of people out there that want to hear the truth. And you know what? It's not a whole lot of people out there doing it. And so if we fall apart, that mission falls apart, and we're not going to let that happen. So I'm going to wrap this up here. One more verse, Mark chapter number 12. Mark chapter number 12. And we will be done here very shortly. Mark chapter 12. Look at verse number 10. Mark chapter 12. All right, Mark chapter 12. Matthew, Mark, look at verse 12. I'm sorry, verse 10. Chapter 12, verse 10. It says this. And this is Jesus talking again. It says this: and have ye not read this scripture? The stone which the builders, notice this, rejected is what? Become the head of the corner. So this is the idea here. This is the vision for this church. We need to realize that the king that we served was rejected. But did it infect him or did it provide direction? Obviously, it provided direction. What happened to him? He wound up coming out on top because he's God. What does that say? And became the head of the corner. So just because we get rejected, and no matter how hard that pain is, you can overcome that because our king overcame that. Again, the bottom line is this: rejection will either become your infection or become your direction. It's that simple. If you don't remember anything else that I said this morning, remember that. Rejection will either become your infection or become your direction. You have a choice, and it's one or the other. It's that simple. We serve the risen Savior. We serve a king who overcame rejection on all areas. I mean, when you read the Gospels, he was rejected because he was from Nazareth. He was rejected because his father was a carpenter. He was rejected for what he was saying. He was rejected for every aspect of life. And he used meekness, and he overcame, and he has left us with that example. You don't need to go to a psychologist. You don't have to get that shock therapy. You don't have to take gobs and gobs of Tylenol. You can just know that you serve the king that has overcome this rejection. And going back to Jacob, what did he decide to do? He decided to learn from that wrestling match with God, which is a picture of us in how we wrestle with these things. And it seems like we're alone, but it's not. We're not alone because he is watching us. He is with us. But you know what? There's going to be some pain. You're going to have some joints out of place when you start to go through this. You will feel that pain. Jacob felt that pain, and it made a lasting impact on him. But it didn't stop him. It didn't infect him. It gave him his direction. And that is exactly the way it works for us. You don't have to turn there. 1 Peter 5, 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The question is, do you believe that? And if you do, rejection will not have subjection over you. It will not dominate you. So I'm going to leave it at that. And we will continue on next week. Like I said, this is a series. We've got two more parts in it. And so let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, thank you so much for, again, allowing us to be able to meet here freely. I thank you again for these truths that you just provide to us week after week, Lord. I pray that you'd help us to apply this to our lives, because we saw and we see constantly in the Bible how you were rejected and it didn't get to you. You overcame that, and we need that same power in our own lives so that we can carry on your mission, Lord. And we thank you for all that you do for us. Please bless the fellowship after the service. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
All right, let's grab those hymn books one more time, please, and turn to song number 415. Victory Through Grace. Amen. Song number 415. Victory Through Grace. Conquering now on the first.
Conquering now and still to conquer.
Service and the evening service to come. In Jesus' name we pray.